We give a big round of applause to Archbishop Prime. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of all the worlds. Allah, the creator of all things. Allah, the revealer of all truth. Allah, the sender of all prophets. We thank him for Moses and the Torah. We thank him for Jesus. Gospel. We thank him for Muhammad and the Holy Quran, and may the peace and blessings of the one God be upon all of his worthy servants. It is in their names that I greet you. With the greeting words of peace be said in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum. I'm certainly honored by the privilege you bestow by waiting and joining us as we work together in unity to secure justice in an area that am long gone without justice. Please forgive my tardiness. I never knew that it would take me over an hour to get from Richmond to Oakland on the highway, but I would imagine when the weather is nice that those that are seeking tourist attractions in San Francisco and other places are inundating the highways. I thought I'd get off the freeway and get on San Pablo, and why'd I do that? So bad I had to get off San Pablo back onto the freeway, down the freeway, back off the freeway, back over to San Pablo from Berkeley. But God grace us with the blessing of being here this afternoon. During the last few months, the city of Oakland has certainly been confronted and been made an example that the entire world would know what justice does and what justice does not look like.
That's right.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught Minister Farrakhan once that justice is the eventual working out of God's will. He said that it would be the weapon used against the wicked. And when we are looking on the time in which we're living, what brought most of us together was the murder of our brother Oscar Grant, who on live television or tape delayed television, we all were witnesses that a man would be killed, but those in authority, rather than seeking justice, we found that those with authority sought to cover their assets, as you would say. We weren't in church, we'd say a little differently on San Pablo. But on 27th in San Pablo, we'll say cover their assets. And in the covering of their assets, we discover how corrupt a system of justice has become. When it was time to try Johannes Mezeli for murder, first day in was delayed because of a shooting incident involving Lavelle Nixon and four officers. A judge found it necessary, in order to secure peace, to delay justice in the matter of a slain civilian murdered by an OPD, pardon me, a BART PD officer. As we begin to talk more about it, I think that many of us will come soon to know that when we say BART PD and OPD, we're essentially saying the same thing.
Amen.
When we say OPD and Berkeley PD, we're essentially saying the same thing. When we say Berkeley PD and SFPD, we're essentially saying the same thing. In fact, I believe it was Congressperson Maxine Waters who, in a meeting that engaged the Attorney General Holder, threw it out in the dialogue, what about Inglewood PD, which has shot and killed multiple persons, and in every instance, I have yet to find any law enforcement agency, be it OPD, BART PD, SFPD, Berkeley PD, LAPD, LA Sheriff Department, I have never heard one ever say our officers were wrong.
No.
So when we find a case such as Johannes Mezzeli, and Judge Clay declared that to be the first time in California history that a law enforcement officer has been bound over for trial for a capital offense, it's not because law enforcement officers are not involved with capital offenses. It's that law enforcement authorities never admit to what is wrong. So when we left from our town hall on last Saturday, not only did we talk about the murder of Brother Oscar, but we introduced the murder of Brother Parnell Smith, whose memorial service was held today. And I'm told that some of his family wants to be here with us, but I'm sure that, like any other family, time for grieving is certainly necessary and good. And so if we are joined today by the Smith family, and if we are joined today by the Polk family, I know that we will in unity join them in showing them our love. Is that right? They wanted to come. Speaks volumes. Because who really is emotionally prepared to go right into the battlefield for justice as your loved one is being laid to rest? And so Parnell Smith, shot on July the 15th. Conflicting reports coming from various media agencies. One highly placed elected official told me, "I don't pay any attention to the media because, you know, I don't trust what they say." I said, "Well, sir, you need to. Because in truth, the public is fed by what comes out in the media."
That's right.
Right now, I think that one would have to admit Oakland is pretty much a powder keg. There's been 3 police-involved fatalities in the last 8 months. And the question becomes, if, and in fact, when, will the city be confronted not only by the people's demand for justice, but the bubbling over anger that's going to be represented from those that have been denied justice? It's really just a matter of time. The beauty of the town hall meeting is we are empowered by our unity to organize on the basis of the anger that we should have.
Yes.
Now, any of us that declare, "I'm not angry about these things," that only means that you're dead.
Yes.
How can you not be angry? Watching a man murdered on videotape and the law enforcement officer blame the victim.
Right.
How can we not be angry when they tell us on July the 15th that our brother was killed because he was a rape suspect? He wasn't killed for being a rape suspect. In fact, after calling him a rape suspect, they backtracked, came back and said, "Oops, that wasn't him."
Right, wrong man.
But Parnell Smith is dead. Now they fabricate, in my mind, a police search they declared to be for a black man with a cane. Well, why did they say that? Because they alleged that they were looking for a rape suspect,
right,
a black man with a cane. Therefore, their encounter with Parnell Smith is what the police is alleging.
Uh-huh.
Now, it was reported that all the bullets fired came from the law enforcement office.
Oh.
He was shot, according to some reports, 20 times.
Wow.
Not a single bullet was returned. In fact, according to those who witnessed the scene that spoke into the media, Parnell Smith ran away from his gun and fled. That he had a weapon, he discarded the weapon and ran. Well, law enforcement never say we just shot a man running from us. Since there was allegedly a weapon present somewhere, law enforcement now says that he picked up the weapon, pointed it, and it misfired multiple times.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if too many police officers let you misfire once.
Come on, bring it on.
Once you train a weapon at a trained killer, they will kill you then. They will not allow you 4 in 5 chances to misfire. My point here is, knowing the truth of what happened now is required to even dig at it. And the problem that we have, those in government, is there are far too many that really want to trust the police reports. So to the many decent human beings that are elected officials, I know you want to trust the police report. You all remember Anwar Sadat?
Yes.
He was president of Egypt. And he was in office during the Israeli-Palestinian peace treaty. It was highly controversial. There were some in the Middle East that felt that he took too soft a position. There were others that felt he took too firm a position. So he sat in office in a swirl of controversy. One day, while his military was having a parade, he's sitting in the parade stand watching his military march by. And as his military marched by, members of his military turned around and shot and killed him in the parade. I wonder who really is in charge of OPD. I wonder whether or not the mayor can really take at face value what the command staff of OPD may say to him. Did you all know that Mayor Dellums went to economic war with the police union a few months ago?
Yes.
Had you all heard that? You didn't hear that. So when folk wonder why wasn't Mayor Dellums permitted to speak in the funeral of the 4 officers, beneath that storyline was the fact that law enforcement unions were taken to task by Mayor Dellums, and that was a victory that you don't hear touted much in the press. For taking on and defeating law enforcement unions is like David taking on Goliath. The mayor took them on and forced them to change the way that policing had historically been done in the city of Oakland in terms of their economic position. Police in Oakland gained more overtime, already being one of the highest paid police forces in the country, therefore attracting officers from all across the country, because there is no other department that earns the living of the OPD. I ran across a couple of officers the other day. They were walking up the street. I was shocked. I said, officers on foot here. Now I'm looking around for the squad car and I don't see any. They're walking into every storefront and introducing themselves to people. But when they got to where I was, we have a corner unit. Our students run a coffee shop. We teach classes in the back. They didn't come into our building. Excuse me, officers. Since I'm here, are you the community policing force? They said, well, you know, there's been this grant that financed this, In other words, I would not be walking on Foothill if someone did not find the funding and someone did not order me out of my car to walk up and down Foothill. Well, it was the mayor that found the funding. And it was the mayor's policy that ordered them out of the car. So the officers felt free to tell me their political opinion. Oh, this won't last long. Well, are you going to be here regularly? No, this is just a one-day thing. Well, when we were dismissing them, well, thank you, officer, for letting us know what you're here for. One of them turned, were you with me? Who was here with me? Brother Ali? You weren't with me that day? Where are you brothers at when I'm talking to the police? I'm just joking. However, when we stopped talking, I never once told them my name. We weren't standing in front of the mosque. If you're standing in front of the mosque, the sign says Muhammad, so maybe you put one and one together. We were at the corner across the street. And when we broke the conversation, one of the officers walked away and said, thank you, Mr. Muhammad. And I scratched my eye, I didn't tell you my name. Well, that's simply to say that the fight against the authority called law enforcement with Oakland has historical roots.
Yes.
40 plus years ago,
yes,
our brothers Huey Newton and Bobby Seale and others, soon to be joined by Archbishop King and others, stood up in this community to demand justice from law enforcement officers, recognizing that when law enforcement officers engaged the poor in this community, those were engagements all of us hated to have. Those were engagements we didn't want. Those were engagements we didn't need. And those were engagements that often found themselves with violent results. As we were leaving the town hall on Saturday, a sister of ours from our congregation, here she is, Sister Martha. Sister Martha, raise your hand so everybody can see you. She called me. I'm on my way home. And she said, there's something happening out here on 71st near her home, that a young man by the name of Brownie had been murdered by OPD. Now, of course, any murder zone or scene is taped off and secured by law enforcement officers. However, according to what my sister reported, they didn't tape off Tolan's door and the surrounding feet around it. For Brother Brownie Pope was shot by an OPD officer inside of Tolan's corner liquor store and market. They could have taped off 50 yards and had all of the evidence locked down that was required, but according to Sister Martha, to me, they locked off several blocks.
That's right.
Now, why were several blocks locked off? What was it that the law enforcement authorities were concerned that people would see?
Right.
What was it that they were concerned that people would say? Well, we would later discover that Brother Brownie, in the store that he was in, law enforcement reported that an apparently drunken man with a hatchet, in essence, was threatening in a store. Now, we were blessed to celebrate the homegoing service for Brother Brownie with his family on yesterday, Reverend Dr. Tosco, myself, Sister Beatrice, Sister Ann Williams, who visited their home on Tuesday, I believe it was, and got acquainted with Brother Browning through them. But the beauty was to get further acquainted with him through the countless hundreds of people that he touched on 71st and he's 14.
That's right.
Now, you learn something about folk at the funeral. If you go to a funeral and nobody is there, that's a sign. Is that right? I was participating in a funeral a few weeks back down in San Diego. Lost a good friend of ours in the Nation of Islam, and his son, who is 18 now, knew his father as a young boy as he served in the ministry. But he hadn't seen him serve in the ministry in his teen or older life. But when he heard how many well wishes and beautiful thoughts were shared about his father in the repast, the son stood up at the repast, 18-year-old, not knowing the magnitude of the work of his father, and said, in essence, when I die, this is how I want to be remembered. I didn't even know my father had done all these things. His father was the first minister I sat with in a dialogue, or like a Bible study in the mosque we call study group. His father was the coordinator of that group, and I can remember that distinctly because I feel like I came to the mosque the very first time just yesterday. I'm still wet behind the ears, put it like that. Well, his father had done such a great work that everyone that knew him couldn't help themselves but to share it. Brother Brown was such an impactful human being on 71st and East 14th, now called International. Let me share with you some of his humanity. Yes, this is why we appreciated when Oscar's family brought video footage to show us his humanity, because the media will never give it to you.
Right.
Now, Brother Brown kept tools on him.
Right.
So this whole thing about him being a hatchet man. Yes, he had tools with him because of the service he provided to that community.
That's right.
The very store where he was shot down was one of the places that he offered his talent, his skill, and his ability to repair the store.
That's right.
If the roof was leaky, here comes Brother Brown. If the drywall needs patching, here comes Brother Brown. In fact, he was so well known for what he did that he would help people on East 14th with broken down cars out of his tool belt. Everyone that spoke of him talked about his always having tools in his hand. So when law enforcement comes, he has tools in his hand. Now, they say that there's video. Did I say there's video? You've not seen this video. Let me share with you why you've not seen this video. Maybe in the editorial staff now, before we see it. Because there's certainly a concern. There are some who feel we wouldn't be sitting here right now if the murder of Oscar Grant wasn't videoed and put on YouTube. So now law enforcement has made a concerted effort to hold on to the video because they fear that if we saw what was on that tape, we would respond to that tape the way we responded to the tape of January the 1st killing our brother Oscar Grant. If this tape so cleanly exonerated law enforcement officers from a shooting, I would imagine we would have already seen it.
Yes.
But now, we are looking at law enforcement authorities that are so bold, that are so arrogant. They're showing you now video footage of their engagement with a fan at the Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
And the police spokesman comes on and says, look, this is good policing. And they show you this man in the stands who is sitting. He's not offering any threat. He's sitting. He may be tripping a little bit. They said he was drunk. But he's sitting and talking with them. Now, was there a way to respond to him
without using the potentially lethal force of a taser, and taser can kill you. You all know that? If your heart stopped beating, Dr. Tasso maybe can help me out a little bit. They take these two probes, they tell everybody to clear out the way, and they shock you. They're hoping to excite the nervous system and to produce the heart beat again, fibrillation. Well, okay. If your heart is beating and they take that device in, what happens?
It can make the heart stop.
It can make the heart do what?
Stop.
So a shock can make the heart stop.
Or it can make the heart go into a deadly rhythm.
Or into a deadly rhythm. Now, there are persons in America that have died from taser contact.
Yeah.
You all know that?
Yes, sir.
So while they don't call it a lethal weapon, there are many weapons at the officer's disposal that are lethal, particularly if improperly used. That lead-filled club, for an example, can be lethal. They are not supposed to club you in the head with that club. They target your knees, your elbows, back of your thigh. They figure if they get you along the femur, strike a nerve, debilitate you at least for a few seconds, take you down. That club was not meant to knock you in the head, though many brothers and sisters have been knocked in the head. There are many weapons at their disposal that are intended to be non-lethal, but improperly used become lethal. Every law enforcement officer ought to have some restraint holds in their arsenal of knowledge. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I think my brother may know a few. Come here, sir. I'm not going to do anything to him. He'll hit me back. So I'm not going to do anything to him. But what's the brother's name that said, if I touch you, I got you? Something like that. Musa? Muhammad? Yes, sir. He's a trainer, sometimes with law enforcement officers, but he's a master karate teacher. Dr. Moses Powell. I said Musa because that's as he was known at the time of his departure. Dr. Powell declared that if he touched you, he had you. And I've seen him on video get people by the finger. Have you seen him do that? You seem to do a lot. You seem to be doing to you. Okay. That he gets you by a finger and you are God. You are not going to get away. You are going to be in pain. And he would lock you in. I'm not going to lock you. But he locked you in. And he could make you walk and stand and go down and walk away with him. Did he do that to you? Now, a law enforcement officer has that fundamental training. So now, here, you got an unruly character at the A's game. They talked to him for a couple of seconds, but they didn't like his response, but he's a drunk man. But it reminded me of the bar officers. That when Oscar and his friend said, "You're not real cops," if you heard their reaction in the courtroom, they became so livid with anger that now meant that both two of them said that if they had talked to us like that, if they responded to us better, then Oscar never would have been killed. In other words, their egos being bruised led to the murder of Oscar Grant. Now, had that man died from that taser blast, they hit him twice with the taser. Not once, but twice. They said the first time, the prongs didn't. That's what they said. Take book the way that they wanted them to do. But now, here's a man that's sitting. He's not in a threatening posture. He has no weapon. He's just talking to them in disrespectful tones.
Right.
You mean to tell me they couldn't have gotten into his ear? These brothers do security. You know how many times we sit with people? Literally.
Right.
Brother, you got about 10 seconds. This is how this can go.
That's right.
You really have about 10 seconds to make up your mind. We would rather walk you out. Y'all with me now?
All right.
That's a peaceful engagement. Yeah. I call him brother.
Come on, that's right.
And based on that engagement, then we walk out together as brothers. But you're standing with weapons in your hand, a man who had too much to drink. And while he may not be the most reasonable, you got time because he's not a threat. He's up in the balcony in the game. He's not on the field disturbing the game. In fact, there weren't even hardly any other fans sitting next to them. So he didn't pose an immediate threat to anyone. So for OPD to run it on TV and say, look, this was good policing. That wasn't good policing. That was ego-driven use of force.
That's right.
If you don't respect me, even though you're drunk, with the kind of respect that I want right here, right now, you could lose your life. So now on Saturday night last week, Brother Browning is in Tolan's store, a store he lives blocks away from, a store he visits often because the workers in the store are his friends. They're his friends.
That's right.
In fact, you heard right away in the general media that the workers at the store were as upset about his being shot as anybody else was.
That's right.
We were told face to face by the workers, we did not call the police. We don't, in fact, we were told they don't use 911 in that store. Now, this is a store that has a lot of traffic in the evenings. It's a popular corner store, and it does have to combat those that choose the lawyer on occasion.
Right.
In fact, young men on the street told us when we loiter here, they start turning on extra lights. They turn on the camera. There's a camera outside, and there's at least 5 cameras inside the store. And that if the loitering is too disturbing to them, they've got a siren next to the camera. You've heard it, man? They've got a siren to make those loitering think that maybe the police are coming. So that they and the young men from the community know of this siren. And they know what it means. It means we've got to stop hanging out here. Browning was never considered in any way, shape, or form a threat to that store.
That's right.
Browning made repairs to the store. He went to visit his friends that were working in the store. And when the law enforcement officer came to the store, she never came in. She never came in. Browning was in the store. She sees him there with tools in his hands and immediately begins shouting him down. So he shouts back in words, why are you talking to me? I haven't done anything.
Come on.
Some say that she told him to put his hands up. Well, he had his tools in his hands. Hence, he had a tool up in the air. Y'all with me now? Put your hands up. I don't have any tools, but now he's got a weapon. Then they showed you on the news a picture of this little tool. Now, as a law enforcement officer, she had many weapons at her disposal. And some ask, well, could she have tased him? Well, first, why did she have to touch him at all? He wasn't a suspect for any crime. He was in the store. Now, I'm sure they hunt around. They might find one person in the store who maybe didn't like him or didn't know him. But then the majority of those in the store were his friends and welcomed him. Now, we were told by those that were in the store that when the officer told him, stop, put your hands, stay right there, he said, I haven't done anything, I'm going home. And he took a step or two, walking. And at that moment, he was killed by an OPD officer 10 feet away. Now, the tool in his hand, if it were in his hand, was no threat to the OPD officer. The only thing being threatened at this point is the feeling or the color of authority. The officer wasn't threatened. Was the officer obeyed perfectly? Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. I don't know what she said. They didn't let us see the video. But one thing that we learned from the Oscar Grant case is, it seems as though no matter what is on that video, the law enforcement authorities are going to produce another story.
Right.
This seems to be more common than we would want to see. That their argument is produced in order to justify the activity. That's why in the thousands of law enforcement involved killings of people in the United States, nearly every one of them is called a justifiable what?
Homicide.
So now we have concerns. We're working with the BART authority to secure a system that says whenever there's an officer-involved shooting, that the auditor of the oversight procedures that we're helping them to put together would be on the scene as a primary investigator. Meaning that while Internal Affairs does what it alleges that it does, I don't know what Internal Affairs really does, because they never tell you. It's internal. It's internal. And due to law enforcement and employee rights, you never hear that which was discovered in an internal investigation. This is why with OPD, our sister Rashida Banaj came here a few months back asking our support with the Civilian Review Board in the city of Oakland to civilianize the intake procedures.
Yes.
Meaning that when people make complaints about police officers, that those complaints are not received by police employees. But that those complaints are received by civilians to ensure that there is at least a knowledge outside the police department that people are calling and complaining about brutality cases. So with BART, we've said, not only do we want knowledge of the call, but we want an investigator on the platform that reports directly to the Oversight Review Board.
Right.
That between that auditor investigator and the Oversight Review Board, if the finding is that the officer has violated the principle of conduct and of law, that that officer shall be disciplined by the hand of the police chief.
That's right.
up to and including being fired. Now, in the city of Oakland, if internal affairs picks up this shooting, well, again, it's internal. We don't know what that affair will produce. We don't know what it is that they will say. We know what they say. And what they say generally through the spokespersons of OPD, unfortunately, their spoken words may not reflect the spoken words of the head of the city, the mayor. I recall after Oscar was killed, when Mayor Dellum spoke to the press saying that he felt that this homicide should be dealt with as any other homicide in the city of Oakland, the members of the media stopped the cameras and said, "Mr. Mayor, you called it a homicide. The murder of Oscar. You didn't mean to call it a homicide, did you?" In other words, the good members of the press were so protected of the view that Oscar had to have been wrong and Meserly had to have been right, that they did not want to put on television the words of Mandelums that this homicide, they didn't want to use or carry the word homicide, because, by the way, the mayor then defined for the press when they stopped the cameras. He said homicide is when any human being is killed. It doesn't declare the term homicide fault. So if you or someone is struck by a car and killed, it can be a criminal offense called vehicular what?
Homicide.
Homicide. It can be reduced to manslaughter based on fault. This is correct. It can be called manslaughter. That's a lesser criminal charge for a homicide. So now, when the mayor said this homicide, they stopped the cameras. I was standing right there. Literally, stop the camera. "Mr. Mayor, did you mean to say?" "Yes, I did." Well, they didn't run that on the 6 o'clock news. So now when OPD or BART PD or BART represents an incident to the people, listen to how they go after it. Parnell Smith, rape suspect parolee, involved in a shootout. Parnell was not involved in a shootout. Parnell was shot at. Let me say that again. Parnell was not involved in a shootout. Parnell was shot at. Archbishop, maybe you can help me with a piece of history. Bobby Hutton. Was it a shootout or was he shot at?
Shot, not at.
You were shot. But he didn't shoot any police. He didn't have a weapon. And you would often see it in the historical pieces if you're my age, or if you were present here in Oakland during those days, and you're looking at it on the television news, and they tell you OPD, LAPD had a shootout with notorious Black Panther Party. Well, shootout is like, you know, OK Corral. I got my gun, you got your gun, draw. That's shootout. We're shooting at each other. Most of the incidents that lost lives of Black Panthers were not shootouts.
That's right.
They were shot at.
That's true.
That's true. So now, here we are looking at the case of Parnell Smith. When OPD takes to the camera, he's a parolee. What did that have to do with that? He's a rape suspect. What does that have to do with that? How about Lavelle Mixon? They hate to use the L word, but let's use it today. Why was he pulled over? And when he ran into an apartment building for hiding or refuge, why didn't they knock on the door? Why weren't the neighbors evacuated? Why weren't people made safe? Why didn't law enforcement officers even protect themselves in entering that building? See, these are questions. And when they did enter the building, they entered firing. That they entered with grenades being thrown into the building. So even if Lavelle had it in his mind, I'm going to surrender here. But not when you don't say anything and you make your approach throwing bombs at him. If he in fact had a weapon, well, who with a weapon wouldn't start firing if somebody tossed a bomb at you? See, now you're compelling the man with the weapon to make immediate use of that weapon. You all recall a few weeks after what happened in Oakland, a similar incident occurred in Pennsylvania, I believe.
Oh yeah, that turned out good.
They did what?
Took him about.
How many officers did he kill? Three? They waited him out. 5 hours. They waited him out. They took him alive because it was too dangerous to bomb rush the door. That's why OPD officers took a vote of no confidence. It had nothing to do with the captain being at the hospital visiting wounded officers. It had everything to do with what kind of command was given in the field on that day. Who was in control? And if you really study it, that day looked more like the Wild Wild West than any other day.
Right.
You had law enforcement authorities from several agencies bomb rushing the door.
Right.
So there was no command. You had sheriffs in the mix.
Right.
You had heart officers nearby.
Right.
You had OPD in the mix.
Right.
You had SWAT officers floating around. Who in the world was in charge? The question really is almost no one.
Right.
The emotion of the moment was in charge.
Right.
And when we are ruled by emotion, that by definition is illogical.
Right.
Y'all with me now?
Yeah.
Now you got illogical policing happening here. By wounded emotions, we're being disrespected. They called me a fake ASS BART police. They're not respecting my badge and gun as they ought to. All of this is in play. So when our brother Browning doesn't tap dance for the officer, I'm told that as the officer is giving him commands, she's not getting closer, meaning nearer to the alleged weapon in his hand. By the way, if he had a hand weapon, she has hand weapons too.
Right.
And her hand weapons are longer than his hand weapon.
Right.
Which means that she can make contact with him before he can make contact with her.
Right.
He would literally have to throw the weapon.
Right.
Now, the man is a contractor. He's not a ninja.
Come on, make it plain.
So throwing this weapon from a layman who's trained in hitting a nail with a hammer, while it is dangerous, potentially, it is surely not the kind of force to a trained fighter.
Come on, say that.
See, police officers are trained fighters.
Right.
Is that true?
Yes.
If they're not, they should be.
Yes.
She's backed out.
She was backing out.
Called for some help.
Here's the thing. According to what we were told was on the video, she's backing up. He said, I'm leaving. She's got a weapon in her hand, and she's backing up. So whatever threat that he brings, she's neutralizing the threat by maintaining her distance.
Make a plan.
Now, if he flees, she got radio, she got backup, she can chase him down. Or better yet, not she, they. Now, there are some witnesses that said that she didn't make contact with him until the backup arrived. But let me tell you what OPD is going to say.
Come on, wait a minute.
Because they're pretty prolific liars on occasion. Yeah. They're going to tell the public that in proper training of the use of the taser, that the taser is not to be deployed unless the officer has the backing of an armed officer that has a gun deployed. In other words, this is what we were told. They don't pull the taser unless somebody else has a gun on that side. Another officer has a gun. This is what they're about to tell you. Do y'all remember a man named Tony Peroni? Y'all remember that character, right?
Yes.
He was running around BART platform by himself, pointing that taser at everybody. Everybody. Didn't he?
Yep.
He pointed that taser through the window of the BART train, didn't he? Dominici wasn't there yet. And he pointed that taser at Oscar and his friend as soon as he saw him at first sight, didn't he? That's what prompted Oscar and Michael Greer, to get back on the train because a foolish officer came pointing a laser target on them personally. I'm out of here. They got back on the train. There was no backup gun present before he pulled that taser out. In fact, I think Dominici had her taser out at a certain point. And there had been no guns drawn. The only gun drawn that night that I recall was Johannes Mezzelis.
Right. Right.
Tasers were pointing all over the place.
Right.
But OPD is going to tell you, well, she could have used a taser, but maybe she was afraid she was going to miss. Well, you can miss with a gun, too. So what are you saying? That's yet to be explained. Brother Archbishop asked, why was he confronted? They claimed that they received a call, and then they claimed that somebody from inside the store flagged them down. Sister Beatrice, were you with us at the store? The worker in the store said, we never flagged down anybody. Andy said, we did not call 911. They're declaring it to be a 911 call. And they said, we never called 911 because we've got a relationship with our beat cop, whoever that is, commander. And we call their cell phone number because some of these stores where it's heavy loitering, they need and have a relationship with the command staff because they're being the only things open late at night. So I would imagine the only things open at night on 71st and East 14th or International, depending on what year you were born, is Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Okay.
And that store. You all with me now?
Yes.
Anything else open, Sister Martha?
And
Church's Chicken. Is Church's Chicken there? I'm sorry, I don't go to that church. I'm a vegetarian. There's a bar there too. So those that are there have relationships with the local authorities because those institutions probably have to call all the time.
That's right.
What time is churches closed? You don't eat there much? Don't eat there at all? Good. We don't go to that church. We go to our bed. We'll get our chicken here. Now, They enjoy relationships with their local officers because they need backup. There's a lot of traffic out there at night. Is that true? A lot of people. I don't know if I've ever been on 71st and East 14th and didn't see a lot of people. Almost any time of the night. So as long as those institutions are open, there are people out there. And it's probably another institution that opens when they close, if you understand what I'm saying. So now that area is known for that. It's a quick route to the freeway. The suburbanites that are looking for drugs will drive right down to that corridor.
Yes, they will.
Pick up their flavor, their drug of choice, and get right back and have a quick route to either the 580 or the 880 and go back where they came from, whether it be Antioch, Walnut Creek, Pleasanton, Dublin, or somewhere up north. Is that how it works? That's why they developed a program at a certain point and said, if we catch you buying drugs in this area, we'll take your car from you.
Think about it.
That had been an Oakland law. Rarely enforced. They don't take their car, they take your car.
Right.
They take your scraper back. And they take your car with the spinning rims, with those that are jumping in and off the 880 and the 580 coming down the 71st. 72nd. Look like they got clean shot out. But if you live there, many law enforcement officers presume that these that live there pose a threat and are continually disturbing the peace. Brother Browning was seen as a threat disturbing the peace, though he had disturbed no one but the sensibility of the police officer that engaged him. No one complained about him. Here's a man who adopted unofficially 5-year-old twins whose mother has a drug habit and was not of the strength and mind to get her babies to school. He walked them to school. He just discovered the condition and served the children. He repaired the gardens of people that lived on the block. I heard sisters who were his age, meaning he's a single man, that if he really wanted to be flirtatious, he could have been, handsome brother, but he would help them get their groceries out their car, and when they came in the neighborhood at night, would watch out for them and say to them, be careful, let me know when you get in the door, I want to make sure you make it home safe. This is Browning Paul. The pastors at the funeral couldn't help themselves but to acknowledge that while he may not have gone to church every Sunday, Pastor Archbishop, didn't Jesus say he didn't come to be served? What did he come to do? He came to serve. Well, now here's a man, Browning Paul, that served the community. When Sister Martha called me last Saturday, she immediately let me know that this is a man that was a good man on the block. So when they took the life of Browning Paul, he's not one that they'll be able to find an ugly record for. If you had seen those who loved him at the funeral, you would have learned that he was loved by hundreds. The funeral home wasn't big enough.
That's right.
He had a saying. I think it was, look out for the little people.
Don't
forget about the little people. And he went up and down the street serving the little people. That's Browning Paul.
That's right.
Taking care of children. Helping the elderly. Fixing automobiles. If your car broke down on 71st and East 14th and he was around, you were in good hands. He, Browning Paul, with being a man that had tools in his hand all the time. There's even been some reports, we haven't corroborated yet, that the officer that shot him saw him with tools a week or so before and threatened him. That if I catch you walking around with these tools again, it's going to be a problem. Look, sisters and brothers, it is only by God's grace. In the case of Oscar and in the case of Browning, that their families are so firmly rooted in God that their response has not produced what some fear would be called riotous behavior. However, our anger is well justified. What the town hall allows us to do is focus that anger on achieving the goal of justice.
That's right.
Justice that is our demand for all that have suffered. We weren't satisfied that OPD treated the Mixon family properly.
Right.
While Lavelle Mixon may have been responsible for what happened on that evening, his family was not. And to watch the demonization against his family, to find themselves unduly harassed by law enforcement after the loss of their father, brother, and son, was unjustified. Well, this demonization effort that was made against Lavelle, by the time Lavelle was buried, they quote unquote discovered DNA evidence. Now, if you can't find DNA evidence against a man while he's alive, why should we respect what you find after he's gone? If you were really in pursuit of a man for violating the law, then do your job. But to wait until you kill him and then demonize his name beyond the fact of the incident that has occurred, it is too much with our brother, Parnell Smith, whose family is here with us now. And I don't have the name of the members of the family. We certainly want to welcome to our town hall. Can we be introduced to you? This is the mother of Parnell's son, and we're certainly honored to have you. And we certainly have you. Descendant of slaves know that slave masters
had their way with us with reckless abandon for 310 long years. When slavery ended, America found a spike of lynching murders of those that were said to have gone free. The lynchings of us when slavery ended has never ended. The NAACP was formed in response to the overwhelming incidences of lynchings of black people in America. There was support from certain segments of the Jewish community because those that hated us tended to hate the Jewish community as well, and some of the Jewish community were lynched, but nowhere near the number of black people who lost their lives. There was no one particular event in history to stop lynching, because to be quite frank about it, lynching has never stopped. The only thing that changed is the weapon of choice. So when we hear that young men and women are losing their lives at the hand of law enforcement, think back to lynchings. With lynchings, the lynched victims were always accused of wrongdoing. In some cases, the lynched victims were taken out of the jail, where the sheriff would take a nap and leave his key in the door, and his buddies would come in and remove a black man from a cell and bring him in the middle of the city block and burn, maim, lynch, dismember, and sell the body parts. And in fact, it had become such an egregious crime that they would advertise what they were getting ready to do before they in fact did it. To ensure a good crowd. So these lynchings were not overturned by the force of law. They weren't overturned at all. In fact, more than anything else, the weapon changed from the rope to the gun. The body parts of lynched victims were sold as souvenirs. Now, if you're not clear on what I'm talking about, I want to encourage you to get a book. You can research it on the internet and get the images without even spending a dollar for the book. There's a book called Without Sanctuary, Lynching Photography in America, and you'll find that when these men and sometimes women were lynched, in truth, it wasn't just their desire to execute the death penalty. It was their desire to send a message to everyone that lives. If you ever stand up against the element of white supremacist rule, this is what you're going to get. If you consider yourself an integrated black man, many of the men that lost their lives were accused of things like looking at a white woman. In fact, the first American city ever bombed by air, it wasn't 9/11. It was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where a black man had been accused of flirtatious behavior with a white woman, and race riots don't find their beginning with Rodney King or Oscar Grant. Race riots find their beginning with lynch mobs coming after black men and burning, maiming, and destroying black communities as depicted in a movie you can acquire called Rosewood. There's no longer a city called Rosewood, because after burning the city down, that city government was dismantled and absorbed into the county where the city resides.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
pastor's from Alabama.
Alabama.
He knows what I'm talking about by experience far better than I can share with you.
My grandfather, Lewis McLeod, killed 19 Ku Klux Klan in Evansville, Alabama. But I want to share something with you before this happened. This happened twice. My daddy's grandfather told him in Evansville, Alabama, they killed blacks twice. They bring them to town and they would have a mule to drag them all the way around the round square. And all of the white people have their field hand to go in there and watch that while they dragging them around after they done punished. You got a mule dragging them all the way around the square.
Mm-hmm. You see, you know what that's called in scripture? Say it again. It's called what? There's one thing. If you are lawfully permitted under a state jurisdiction to commit death penalty. Now, we don't agree with the state use of the death penalty. But if it exists, it has a format and a way. Crucifixion used to be the law of Rome. So when you see that men or women are dragged around the city to die. There's a case going on in Texas right now of a brother that was dragged on the back of a truck. Right now. See, that's not just murder. That's crucifixion. Now, many in our community have had their characters crucified. And so I warn it to OPD, before you crucify the characters of the people that you have killed, be clear, your job in law enforcement is justice, it's not crucifixion.
Amen.
Crucifixion is a draconian method that at best should be considered devilish men. So when one feels that in order to secure justice, see, Brother Brown did not need to be shot to be brought under control.
That's right.
And while I don't have the details of Brother Parnell, I am clear that he did not shoot at the police.
That's right.
I'm clear. Therefore, containing and controlling him did not require bullets. But when it is in the mind of those in authority, that anyone that challenges my authority is worthy of death, then Mayor Dellums had it right when Oscar was killed. He said that we ought to be involved because every bullet that was fired was a taxpayer paid for bullet.
Right. That's so true. Right.
Now, I didn't hire law enforcement officers to unjustifiably kill people.
Right.
So, since I didn't hire these officers to unjustifiably kill people, now you and I are responsible for ensuring that there's a system that not only fires them, but a system that brings them to justice.
Right.
So Johannes Messerly being the first in California history to be charged is a sign that perhaps the justice that we have long sought for will be demonstrated in Oakland before any other city in the great state of California. That's why we're standing. We're waiting. If these shootings are accidents, then say it. Stop lying. If it's an accident, just say it.
Right.
If it's justified in your mind, then say that. But covering under the banner of authority and hiding the light from a people that have lived under the boot of darkness for so very long is not going to bring peace to the community.
That's
right.
And so, sisters and brothers, we are honored that the Smith family has joined us. We are honored that the Polk family has joined us. We are honored that the Grant family has joined us. And we owe it to them to secure that the systems of justice that exist in our community work properly.
That's right.
On Monday morning. Somebody leave me the time. I know I can't leave today.
6:01.
On Monday morning, BART is reorganizing its committee to review the oversight process to respond to the offers and points of views made by those of us who came to the Thursday evening meeting and those of us that sent email to give your thoughts on how that process should move forward. I'm thankful that those in the elected position in BART have some ears with which to hear. Jesus said, him that have an ear, let him hear. But we whispered to them, what's the point of hearing from the public if you don't intend to dialogue over what you heard from the public? I don't see him here, but I want to thank Christoph and young man, get your name. He detected in the document items that should be amended. And I want to commend them for their insight. So as we meet on Monday, those items are going right back on the editing table. I want to thank my brother Gregory Fields, who brought a finely attuned eye to the process. Because with some legal training, our brother knows that if our I's are not dotted and our T's are not crossed, and some law enforcement officer is disciplined as a result of what the review board finds, if there's an I undotted, a T uncrossed, they'll find a way to undo the whole system. So I want to thank Brother Gregory Fields, whose eyes are right on. That are organizing around what these documents say. Special thanks to BAM, by any means necessary, for reviewing many of the 11,000 pages of testimony from the Bart Meserly, the Meserly murder trial. Anybody that would take the time to study what is 11,000 pages, that's a lifetime of study. Y'all with me now?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a demonstration of love, concern, and care. And the Bible says, greater love has no man than he give his life for his friend. And anybody take on 11,000 pages of giving a portion of their life for you and I and for justice. We want the Smith family to know that we're going to pursue the shooting of Brother Parnell full speed ahead.
Yes, sir.
We would love your support to help us to know Parnell better and to help us to know the shooting incident as you're learning of it better.
That's right.
We don't trust anything we see on the press.
Yes, sir.
This period.
Right.
And we've got very little trust for what police officers say in the press or even in a courtroom. We already knew, but we learned it clearly from the judge in the Oscar Grant hearing. The judge in the Oscar Grant hearing heard testimony from about four BART police officers and concluded that he could not trust the testimony of the police in the shooting of Oscar Grant. And I don't yet know where this process is, except with internal affairs, and that there are some officers on paid vacation right now. So whatever you can share with us, it doesn't have to be in this big crowd, but our doors are open, our hearts are open,
to serve you in any way that we can. In these meetings are varieties of support mechanisms. With us are a number of pastors. With us are a number of elected officials. With us are a number of loving activists, as all of us. Who here is a loving activist for truth? Help and serve your family in any way that we can. We are not going to rest and watch law enforcement officials kill our people with reckless abandon and we not respond. By God's grace, our response is able to reach really every level of government. And so our time is coming toward a close. So I see many members of the family coming in. Maybe after we close out, would you all mind if we just huddled up for a minute without the crowd so that we can get acquainted? I can introduce myself and maybe we can begin our dialogue for how we can help serve your family's needs. Is that okay with you all? I see heads nodding and big yes, so we are honored by your presence. Brother Wilson, did you want to share anything before Brother Gregory?
I just wanted to share with you an incident that occurred last night at Packers Days in Emeryville. About 12 midnight, the gentleman was making the purchase. Can everybody hear me okay? The gentleman was making the purchase, and he said something at the register. He had someone else was with him. He and the lady were in a conversation. Whatever it was that he said, apparently the clerk did not like what he said, so she summoned security to dial 911, which they did. Four Emeryville police officers showed up, and he paid for everything that he had purchased, and he exited the store. When he exited the store, they accosted him. And it was a very verbal, abusive connection, or contact, I should say. The part that I heard that was most significant to me was that the white police officer told him, "We don't have any record of you having a warrant. We don't have, there is no record of you ever committing a crime. But I want to make it clear to you, your kind is not welcome in Emeryville. And I am giving you I am taking the authority as the police to inform you that this management, Safeway, will no longer do business with you. And I want you to go back to Oakland and tell anybody who wants to come up here and go shopping, go shopping someplace else." So the information was sketchy for me because they then noticed that I was there and tried to get me to clear the area. The last thing that I heard the police officer tell him was, and the word used was asset without the et, if you will. We don't want you in Emeryville, or your kind. Your kind is what it was, and I want to quote him specifically. Your kind in Emeryville. Four police officers.
They were speaking to you?
No, they were speaking to the gentleman that supposedly offended the clerk, okay? When I stood there watching the whole situation, so the officers turned to me, "What do you want, bud?" Of course, very disrespectful. And I told them, "I'm an attorney. I understand." So they kind of backed down off of him. But the last thing they said to him was, "When you go back to Oakland, you make sure you tell your people we don't want your business in Emeryville." So I'm going to follow up.
Did you get a badge number?
No, I wasn't close enough. And my sight is not what it used to be. But I will follow up. I mean, if it was a 911 call, there's a ring. There's always a ring.
See, these kind of issues are not resolved by beer and chips at the White House. See, Henry Louis Gates, great scholar, perhaps feeling that that kind of thing would never happen to him. But when we have these things happen to us, we don't have beer and chips with anybody. Many of these contacts result in shootings or arrest. The arrest rate is certainly a matter of racial profile. That's clear. Yes. And when you compare the arrest rates with the conviction rates,
Then again, we're dealing with a matter of racial profiling. So that right now, the state of California, again, has been ordered by federal courts to release over 40,000 inmates. But the other side of that story is, how did the state penitentiary system get so black and brown in the first place? How is it 70-80% black and brown when the state is 50% now black and brown? Did I say it was 50%? Oh, by the way, that means we're no longer a minority. And the only reason we don't wield political power is our division, which is why, again, we're having town hall meetings. Because in unity, we carry a force. And the force that's really going to have to come from the city of Oakland is the moral authority to overturn police profiling and brutality issues. That's going to have to come from Oakland. Let me say it again. See, we're headed back to Sacramento in just a few weeks. And when we arrive in Sacramento, the force that Oakland brings is the moral authority to challenge police profiling and brutality issues. See, Oscar Grant was both profiling and brutality. Is that true? Obviously, Browning Pope was profiling and brutality. Is that true? Now, we don't have the details from Brother Parnell, but I'm convinced. I'm convinced. Being told that they were looking for a rape suspect with a cane after they found out Parnell allegedly had a cane. I've never heard such a description. A rape suspect with a cane. How many people have canes? Thousands. Then, after the shooting, they claimed they were looking for a rape suspect with a cane, but that wasn't him. But that's after the demonizing of his name.
Right.
You all with me now?
Yes, sir.
So when we return to Sacramento, and we will, God willing, toward the end of August, for Caravan for Justice 3, there are very few places that have the position now to make the moral and legal demand on the way law enforcement functions. Internal affairs. So internal, nobody knows if any officer's ever been corrected. I got a problem with that. When you're charged with wrongdoing or a crime, it's not an internal affair. In fact, they post your case outside the courtroom. Right on the wall. State versus Johnson. State versus Smith. People versus this one. People versus that one. What about people versus rogue police?
Yes, sir.
I just personally have a problem with how internal affairs is. It's gotten so bad that city authorities feel like they have to back the police out of fear of litigation. The mayor of Oakland sent out a letter, and I don't know how many received it, who was on the mailing list, I was on the list, in which he sent condolences to the Polk family and to say to the family that no loss of life should go without its due respect, and that a full investigation of what happened on that day is underway. Well, I would suggest to our mayor respectfully, we thank him for acknowledging that we just don't fall in police explanations and say that's cool with us. Judge Clay made that clear with Oscar Grant murder, that police explanations often are lies. Y'all with me now?
Yes, sir.
So I'm thankful that the mayor rose above simply accepting the police byline. Because in truth, the police are supposed to work for the mayor.
That's right.
Which we all thought that they did until they cut him out of the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
of those officers.
Right.
So we already know there's a fighting match going on here.
Yes.
But we would say to all of those in positions of responsibility that whenever a life is taken, we're given guidance in the Holy Quran that says this, and I'll close because I do want to meet the Smith families. In the Holy Quran, there's a verse that says, whenever an unrighteous person brings you news, look carefully into it, lest you harm someone in ignorance, then feel sorry for what you've done. So we should always be slow to jump on the bandwagon, accepting the alleged guilt of whomever the police have killed. We should always be slow, for we don't know the facts. But this wasn't a videotape bank robbery where the gunman comes out firing on everybody and gets killed in the process. That speaks for itself. But this, like most police-involved shootings, leaves the victims unaware of what really has transpired. Since we know that racial profiling is a matter of record of being involved in the number of contacts, every black man in the room knows there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop. There's no such thing as a routine pedestrian stop. Every contact. My house was robbed years ago when I lived on 54th and I called the police. It took them 6 or 7 hours to get to my house. When they arrived at my house, it was near midnight. Now, my back door had been kicked down. I mean, it was gone. But they came near to midnight and asked, can we come in the house? Now, since I already know that any contact with law enforcement, for me, can prove to be unfavorable, I let them know, well, no, sir, you don't need to come in this time of the night. First, my wife and children are asleep. Second, I called you 7 hours ago. Third, not only did you not come to see that my home was open, but we actually put up some devices and secured the door while you were gone. It had been knocked off the hinges. Now, you're not coming in my house this time of the night. I think I told you last week, an SFPD officer in Antioch, a sister, female, a landlord, had law enforcement come to her door. Her tenants called on her, the landlord, and when they arrived and saw a black person at the door, they asked for entry. And when she refused, they forced their way in and tased her. See, every contact, particularly in a land in which we know that contacts between law enforcement and black and brown people often has unfavorable results. She was a police officer out of uniform. So they didn't know that she knew what they knew. They didn't know till after they tased her that they had, quote, tased one of their own.
Wow.
Reverend Al Sharpton had to respond to an incident in New York City where I believe the third black undercover officer, while performing his duty, was shot by his white police brothers, while he's restraining other issues, while investigating and doing his job as an undercover officer, three black officers have been shot. Now, one would say you all are just saying everything is racial. Now, I don't have to say everything is racial. Some folk, and I don't mean to offend anybody, we're in church. So can I talk about Jesus just for a moment? Just for a moment. According to the scripture, Jesus was a man who had hair like lamb's wool and skin like brass burnt in an oven. He was angry. He had eyes like flaming coals. And the question becomes, why was he angry? Who was he angry with? In fact, it said that he's the seed of David, according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit. Did I get that right, Pastor? Well, in the line of David is one of the greatest black kings of all time. His name happens to be Solomon. Y'all with me now? So if Jesus is the seed of David through Solomon, guess what Jesus was not?
White and long stringy hair.
He was not white with long stringy hair. Now, some suggest, if I were to say that, brother, you're just being a racist. No, I'm being a historian. Y'all with me now? Now, if he were white, that's okay. That's fine with me. Well, you're talking about a man that's giving the revealed word of God. It doesn't matter what his or her color is. Y'all with me now? That's our belief. But the question becomes, who made him a white man? And if I say to you that he's other than a white man, don't get angry with me. You really ought to shut your mouth and do the history. Because I can tell you where that statue came from. Somebody made the statue. I can tell you where that painting came from. Somebody painted the painting. Name happened to be Michelangelo. He was commissioned by a pope. You all with me now? See, it's history. So our problem is not that there's a white Jesus or not. The question is, why did you make him white? But now if you look at murder victims at the hand of law enforcement, Bart has killed 3 human beings. Every one of them is a black man. Is that true? OPD has killed 3 people this year. 100% of them are what? And black males. Does racial profiling exist?
Yes, sir.
See, so now any contact. You got some young men today that if you say police in the room, they start running. That's true. I'll never forget joking with one of our students, Brother Saleem, many years ago. But some years ago, was a student in the class that I taught. A few generations behind him, he thought I got soft because he figured my muscles were bigger when I was younger with them. I got a little wiser. But I made a joke with a young man. A police car was parked on the street while we were walking. And I said, look, brother, they're here for you. I was joking. I will never joke with a young brother like that again. Because when he saw the police car, he took off running, full speed ahead up the street. Now we got students lined up. You know how we do it, brother. Students in order, they're lined up, we're going here to there. This brother's 14, 15, said, brother, they're here for you. And he ran so fast. I mean, I used to play a few sports, but I had to pick up full steam. And I never would have caught him on foot. He was running that fast. I caught him with words. I didn't catch him on foot. The brother was flying. Well, that's because in our community, our young people know, our children know, that any contact with law enforcement could prove unfavorable or favorable. So to the Smith family,
We're going to close in prayer in just a moment. And if you could just meet with me, just right here in the front, or we'll go to a side room so that you can help me understand how we can better serve justice in the killing of Brother Parnell. We love you. We love justice. And we want to see that justice is served not just for Oscar Grant, not just for Brownie Smith, but for, pardon me, Brownie Paul, but for Parnell. And for all of us that want to be confronted at some point by the same kind of police that confronted Parnell, that confronted Oscar, and that confronted Brother Brown. And so the only way that we're going to overcome these kinds of conflicts is by the power of our unity.
Yes, that's right.
Now we want to make a demonstration of the power of this unity in legislation.
Yes, we do.
So, our Caravan for Justice, again, end of August, we'll let you know the exact date, is designed to begin to change legislation that impacts police conduct and that impacts the laws that are used that have filled the prisons beyond capacity, where is it filled right now? My brother, you had a question? In ourselves what we must do to overcome the things that we think have made us different. All that love justice are related. God brought us here by his command to demand justice. But among those of us, when Sister Martha called me on Saturday evening, who would have thought that when the police murdered somebody, they would have murdered somebody that close to our home. Mm-hmm. And when Brother Parnell was killed, we thought that while we may not have known directly how to make contact with you, that our brother is the right of the family. We just wouldn't have known. But we want you to know that our love is not simply one that we express for someone that's in the same congregation or of the same faith tradition or of the same neighborhood. These are all false causes for division.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
And really our great effort is to overcome all these false causes for division.
Absolutely.
To unite and to make the country, starting with home, the kind of place that it should be. And so I want to thank all of you. Time and attention. I've gone over time. Right? What time is it?
I'm glad you did. It's after 5.
It's after 5. You said, no, you were late.
After 6. That's what I said. I'm glad
but
you
I want to stop because I want to respect your time. Then I want to meet with the Smith family and to give us a chance to get acquainted. So is that all right with you all?
Yes, sir.
Now, next Saturday, we'll have updates on the Orloff recall effort. Has anyone received a letter from Tom Orloff that signed the petition? That might be a good sign, because now there's another case right in front of us. It may be the district attorney needs to bring charges against the shooter of Brownie Polk, or in the least the Citizens Review Board in Oakland should be dealing with that matter in an immediate sense. The district attorney may need to chime in on the shooting of Parnell Smith.
Yes, sir.
We'll get the facts together. Right. They're not forthcoming and bringing them to the public. You know you can always come to the town hall.
Right. That's right.
and then we'll put it online for the world to see. I want to thank our helpers who, if you missed the town hall, go to ndbay.org and go to the Oakland Town Hall or Oscar Grant Justice Issues, and it will allow you to learn there maybe what you missed if you weren't here on a given week. But we got to spread the word. Don't expect CNN to do it.
Right.
Yeah, don't expect ABC, CBS, certainly not the Oakland Tribune to cover it. And so go to the websites, also caravanforjustice.org, that allows us to sink in to the various issues that are affecting our communities. Next Saturday, we'll have updates on the BART policing matter. We'll have updates on the recall effort for the district attorney, Tom Orloff. At the same time of the recall, we need to find a replacement. Maybe DA Bias. Or DA Muhammad.
That would be better.
I'm asking that someone find for us the re-election schedule of the members of the BART board. When do the BART board members' terms end? You all understand the question?
Yes, sir.
Because, I don't know, maybe it's BART board member Fields. Maybe it's BART board member Johnson or Smith or Williams or Muhammad or whatever our names are. Maybe the problem with the BART board is that we're not in it.
Right.
That may be part of the problem. So we're going to take a very good look in the city or in the county for qualified candidates for district attorney. We need to know after we drive Mr. Orloff out who's going to replace him. If he survives his term, then we still need to know who's going to replace him because his term is up next year. And so pay very close attention to the ongoing activities of the town. I'm going to ask our pastor if he would close us out with prayer, and then I need to meet the Smith family so we can get that acquainted. So,
could you just speak on one thing that you spoke on last week?
Yes, sir.
About how all of these prison now that they're trying to sell like sex slaves.
Yes.
Could you keep on bringing it out next week?
We'll dig into it next week. The prison reform efforts. You'll find that the state of California is considering, rather than releasing prisoners by the mandate of the federal court, shipping them out to other states. The state of Michigan has an underpopulated prison population. Therefore, rather than allow your loved ones, your friends, your relatives that are in state penitentiary systems out, they'll send them further away. Now, part of the reason they want to send them out is that you've got men and women who have spent 20, 30, 40 years incarcerated, pose no more threat. Some are actually health challenged and are not able to survive well in the prison system. You've got one prison in Northern California that serves as a hospital institution. But many of the inmates that are in need of medical care are not there because they can't fit them any longer there. So many sick and injured inmates are suffering throughout the state. So the federal mandate has declared that the overcrowded California state prison system has become a form of cruel and unusual punishment, which is a violation of the United States Constitution. So they're saying, let them go. Now, of course, the state was $25 billion in the hole. And in a few days, will be more billions in the hole. However, if they release 40,000 inmates who are there at a cost to the taxpayer of over $40,000 a year, then the state would actually save its budget. In fact, it would do far better educating people than incarcerating people. For if it spent $40,000 to $60,000 to keep Pookie in prison, then you can spend $40,000 to $60,000 and send Pookie to Laney College. In fact, you can take half that and send Pookie to Stanford, to UC Berkeley, where he or she
can gain the qualifications for decent employment on that $60,000 annual spending spree that they use not to serve Pookie's needs. That's $60,000 to put new uniforms on the guards. That's $60,000 to get the guards overtime pay. That's $60,000 to keep the physical plant of the prisons up to par. That's $60,000 to pay for the administration of the prison system. That's $60,000 to pay for the judicial system to keep the judges judging, the prosecutors prosecuting, and the defense attorneys defending. That's $60,000 that could be better used lifting up people from the ground up by assuring a nurturing educational system and an employment system that actually employs.
Yes.
Have you noticed that when we're looking for a job, we go to the unemployment office? Is that where folks go? They don't have jobs at the unemployment office. You get unemployment at the unemployment office. And it's become that to our community, even though the state for years have called it EDD, the Employment Development Department. You know why we call it the unemployment office? Because we're unemployed when we get there, we're unemployed when we leave. So let's have our pastor close us out with prayer. Yes, sir.
And a part of the reason for the 40,000 not being released in Alameda County is because our elected officials do not want them here.
Right.
And that is something that the NAACP did say this morning that they were going to look into. So it's a little bit deeper than just the civil
yes, sir. We love our elected officials.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll pray for them.
Charging.
We prayed last week, didn't we, Brother Rose?
Yeah.
We prayed with our elected officials to help us to move forward. And that's the beauty of our unity. We have the ability to pray for our elected officials. And we, of course, pray for you. And so I want to ask our pastor to take us out with a prayer and then to the Smith family. I just come right over where you are. I think there's a side room through those doors, and we'll just go over there.
Everyone stand, eyes closed, hearts open. Our Father God in heaven, Lord, we come thanking and praising you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for all of your blessings, Lord. Lord, we just want to thank you for each and every one, Lord, that's here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those that's not here, and Lord, that would love to have been here, Lord. We just ask you to pray for each and every one and each and every one's family, Lord. Pray that you would bless us, Lord, and pray all the things, Lord, that's on our heart and on our mind, Lord, that you would bless it, Lord, because, Lord, we have good things, Lord, hope, Lord, and justice, Lord, on our mind and in our heart, Lord. Pray that you would bless all of the leaders, Lord, that's involved here, Lord. Bless Minister Mohammed, Lord, and the pastor of this church. Oh, Lord, we pray that you bless him and all the others that's involved here, Lord. Pray that, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, the Smith family, Lord, and all the other families here, Lord, that had lost loved ones, Lord. Oscar Grant family, Lord. Just about everyone that we know have lost, not a loved one, a friend. And, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one and bless their family, Lord. And Lord, pray that you would bless us to seek justice, Lord. Bless each family to seek justice, Lord. That your will would be done, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord. So Lord, just give each and every one traveling grace home, Lord. And Lord, and bless and keep your loving arms around all of us, Lord, and our family, Lord. Bless us, Lord, to do the work and the will in our community, Lord. Bless us to stand together, Lord. As people, Lord, of God, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.